It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
What?
There was just a lot going on there.
Oh, well, get your mind out your gutter. Get the mind out the gutter. It's a payday Friday. I didn't even know it was payday, man. Thank God that check hit the count because I am broke. Jeez. Pause.
Unlimited possibilities.
No.
Stop
There's
it.
No unlimited
Stop.
Possibilities. People on the radio have no idea what you're talking about, but good morning to all the graveyard shift workers. Hey, Rod and Hayward, you truck driver. D-Day's today. Yankees are coming. Yankees are coming. They're taking over your yard, Ron and Hayward. Good morning to all the overnight dancers.
Yankees win.
Good morning to John Sterling, who's at Dodger Stadium. Good morning to all the Yankee fans. Good morning to all the Niner fans. Good morning to all the Tirico fans. Good morning to all the Warrior fans. Check out the Utah Jazz tonight in Salt Lake City. Marketed. Did you really want him? Well, we're going to get a good glimpse at him tonight. He balled out against Memphis Grizzlies the other night. There's no doubt about that. We'll talk to Rod Adams at 9 o'clock. A lot going on here on the morning roast. Good morning to you, Shasky.
So we've got Niners, Cowboys, which feels like two of the bigger brands in the NFL, correct?
Absolutely.
It's humongous. It's huge. And then you got Yankees, Dodgers starting tonight.
Yep.
Which I would say those are the two biggest brands of baseball, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Right? And so... I guess the only thing in the NFL that would maybe like equate to what Yankees Dodgers is what Steelers Cowboys.
That's a good one. Dude, we had Steelers Cowboys on Saturday Night Football a few weeks ago. It was iconic,
right?
With the delay, the uniforms,
but if they
the tradition.
Met the Super Bowl,
yeah, oh, it would be awesome,
right?
It'd be up there.
Celtics Lakers.
That's there.
Okay.
Yep.
UCLA basketball, maybe versus Kentucky.
Versus Duke, Kentucky.
See, we said Duke, too. We didn't know if that would carry because you know, in college football, would it be like Bama, Ohio State?
Could be.
I'm trying to think of a lot of brands.
It could be a lot of combinations. It could be USC, Bama. It could be Ohio State, Michigan.
Another one.
Ohio State, LSU. Ohio State, Bama. Who's another team? I would say Florida State, but Miami. Miami gets any team. Because Miami, you either hate them or love them.
Can you name anyone from the last time? And we're going to get back into the Niners because, like Yankees, Dodgers tonight, I'm excited. Can you name anyone who was in the Game 6, 1981, closeout game for the Dodgers, last time they faced in the World Series, in the Dodger lineup?
Dusty Baker.
Yes.
Dusty Baker.
No position was Dusty.
Dusty was an outfielder.
Yes.
Was he left or right field?
Left field in this game.
Yeah, left field in this game. Who's their catcher? Was Mike Socha catching yet?
That's later.
That's later on.
That's a lot later.
Gosh. Darn
so
it.
Davey Lopes at second, Bill Russell at shortstop, Steve Garvey at first base, Ron Say at third base, Dusty Baker.
Hold on real quick on Steve Garvey, because I was going to say Steve Garvey, but was this after he had a quick cup of coffee with the Padres, or did he go to the Padres after that?
That I don't know. I don't know. You'd have to get Steiny in here, because this is, you know, this is 1981. You know what I'm talking about. Pedro Guerrero after Dusty Baker, Rick Monday, Steve Yeager, and then starting pitcher Bert Hooton for the Dodgers. They ended up winning that game and that series in six. Tonight you get Flaherty versus Gerrit Cole. I'm actually really excited. As a baseball fan,
this is great.
So pumped. This is going to be a great sports weekend.
Oh, it's going to be a great uniform weekend. The uniforms match up. It's iconic. Dodgers, Yankees, and then especially when they go to the Bronx. When they go to the Bronx, that's going to look... Because, you know, as much as I can't stand the Dodgers, their own uniforms are sweet. I hate saying that. I cannot stand saying that. Pardon me. But the Dodgers road uniforms are pretty damn sweet. I'm not going to lie. I would never wear one. Trust me, I would never wear one. They are sweet.
So you're obviously a diehard Yankee fan. And so
For this series.
Okay. Can you name anyone in the starting lineup for the 81 Yankees? In the game six. 80,
Reggie Jackson? Was he in that lineup? Was Dave Winfield in that
Dave
lineup?
Dave Winfield was absolutely in that lineup. Dave Reggie Winfield, Jackson was in that lineup.
And then Willie Randolph.
Leading off.
Yep. Was Mickey Rivers there yet? Or was he in Texas by then?
Mickey Rivers not in the starting
lineup.
Not
in the starting lineup.
Third what about base Craig Nettles? Is pretty obvious.
Craig Nettles.
Yes.
Shortstop. Was Lou Padella in this lineup?
No, Larry Milbourne.
Larry Milbourne.
And the starter is going to, you guys are all going to go, ah, the starter for the Yankees, they ended up losing. They went with 1,000 pitchers.
Ron Guidry? Catfish Hunter?
Lou Padella did pinch hit in this game, but
Lou
no.
Padella, yeah, there you go.
But he didn't start. But Tommy John.
Tommy John started. Wow.
And that's just to give you an idea of how old this matchup was. Like, 81 was 40 freaking years ago.
Garvey was Padres afterwards.
There you
afterwards,
go.
Afterwards. So, George Steinbrenner, I've read stories on this series. He went crazy. He was ticked off at Dave Winfield. Thought he choked. Thought he blew it. And don't forget, the Yankees had beat the Dodgers. It was 77-78?
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson, three home runs. Yeah, Thurman Munson. Reggie Jackson going Mr. October. Three home runs and a clincher. And they run it off the field as Yankee fans stormed the field. They don't do that at pro events no more, folks.
Who is the biggest star of this game? Is it Judge? Is it Otani?
It's Otani. It's Otani because he's worldwide.
You think?
But Judge can steal some of those fans. Yeah, I think in America... I even think in America.
No, it's Ohtani, forget worldwide. Maybe. I meant America.
I think it's Ohtani.
You still okay?
Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, maybe I'm a little jaded.
They already believe he's better than Barry Bonds, better than Babe Ruth. Yeah, he went 50-50, dog.
This is what he
50-50.
Signed.
50-50.
This is okay, but you know Acuna went 43-73 last year. You know
50-54 power hitter like that. We don't look at Ohtani and say, oh, he's going to steal 50 bases. Acuna, you know, we know he has speed to burn. Like sometimes I want to tell Acuna, yo, dial it back a little bit because I've had him in fantasy football for like four. I mean fantasy baseball for so many years, and he would tick me off. I'm like, oh, that's a hammy. Oh, that's a knee. Ohtani, I never knew that he was going to steal bases like this.
Well, I mean, the guy flies down the line.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Thoroughbred.
Now, Judge is fast, too. And I believe Judge is capable of stealing. How many stolen bases does Judge have this year?
I don't know.
He had about 20? Because he got speed, too.
He does. But, you know, with that lineup, you don't want to have a lot of movement because you don't want to take guys off the base because they got the long ball. This is a big one, man. You've got Mookie Betts, who I consider one of
only
the great 10. All-around players in the game,
Judge
period.
Only 10 stolen bases.
How many?
10.
Okay, whatever. You got, obviously, Giancarlo Stanton, who... at one point was the most feared right-handed hitter in the game and can always walk into one. You got Jazz Chisholm, who was on the cover of a video game a couple of years ago, and it felt like, you know, they keep trying to insert him in, go righty-lefty. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. You're going to get Carlos Rodon. There's a lot of Giants ties to this thing, you know? And I don't know, man. I just think
Rodon
this is interesting. Juan Soto?
He was a Giant for a year.
No, the Giants were linked to Giancarlo Stanton. They were linked to Aaron Judge. Linked to Juan Soto.
We were linked to Bryce Harper, too. Sure, there's a lot of Giants.
No, these are all guys who spurned the Giants.
I don't like to, they spoke to him for a couple of weeks and decided, hey, we're going to go to another destination.
You get Freddie Freeman on one leg. You get Shohei Ohtani. I mean, this is big.
Will Smith is a catcher for the Dodgers.
Well,
no
Will
doubt
Smith's
about that.
Bat is doing the Buster Posey right now.
He's slumping a little bit. He has some big hits, though, in that series against the Mets. But I'm just looking at Ohtani's numbers because it starts with the stars. The guy was three hits away from having 200. All right? Three hits away from having 200. 38 doubles, 7 triples. 54 jacks, 130 RBIs.
Yeah, it was the 11th best Barry Bonds season.
59
no, that's
stolen,
literally what they said by the stats.
59 stolen bases, a 310 batting average. And the OPS is over 1,000. I mean, this is... the dude had a sixth season. So you start with him, and then you get Judge on the other side. When's the last time baseball... because I even throw Juan Soto. I think Juan Soto's a top 5 player. Top 5 offensive player.
No, he is. He's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's got a Ted Williams-like start to his career. He's not Ted Williams. I mean, to do what Ted Williams did is like, come on.
I mean, Soto went 41-109, 288 batting average, 166 hits. Judge had 180 hits. He had the 58 jacks, 144 RBI, 322 batting average. When was the last time baseball had three of maybe its 5 best offensive players in the World Series?
Well, they said this is the first time since like the 40s or whatever, or maybe it was the 30s, that you've had 5 former MVPs in, you know, eventual, like in the same game.
That's insane. I'm just thinking like 3 of the top 5 players.
You're looking at minimum 6 Hall of Famers?
Who? Judge?
Judge, Soto. Betts, Freeman.
Yep.
Otani's going to get in there. I mean, Kershaw, he's not going to pitch. He's a Hall of Famer.
Garrett Cole, when it's all said and done, might be a Hall of Famer.
I'm like, we'll see.
But his accolades, like, he's up there. He's so many, like, his all-star numbers, and he's Cy Young winner.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think Cole's dramatically underrated.
And he won a World Series with the Astros.
Well, yeah. Stan's got 429 career home runs.
No, I love Stan.
34 years old. He'll be 35 next year.
Do you think, though, when it's all said and done, he's a Hall of Famer?
Not yet.
But you win a couple World Series with the Yankees.
You win a World Series, and he plays a couple years as a DH, and if he gets to 500 home runs, he's at 429 now. If he gets to 500 over the next 3 years, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Somewhere Palmeiro's pissed.
Well,
punchy
you know
air.
Well, he should have been a Congress line. You know who should have been on Capitol Hill line? I have never used steroids. There you go.
Period.
That was fascinating. That was... In my college days, I watched that one pretty loaded. And I was like, this is unbelievable. I was with my boy Danny Dimsum. What's up, Danny Panda Bandit? I hope you're doing well out there. We were watching that. We're like, is this a movie? What is going on? It was Donald Fear. I lost my train of thought. Frank Thomas had a gall to go to Capitol Hill, so he did via satellite where he's looking like a cartoon character. Sorry.
As a Giants fan, Bonte, how are you viewing this World Series?
Oh, I'm viewing it like, you know what? Giants, you got work to do. Maybe this is good for the Giants to see this.
No, I think it's great for the Giants because it puts tremendous pressure on them.
Yeah, no doubt.
One thing that I think this postseason has proven, spending money, it doesn't necessarily guarantee you anything. It sure helps you get to the playoffs because the top six teams in payroll all made the playoffs. Yeah.
Phillies, Mets, Padres, Yankees. Dodgers
are actually down.
Were they down?
Yeah. It was the top
Braves.
Six.
Braves.
The seventh team in payroll in baseball was the Cubs. They just missed out on the playoffs. I think the Giants were ninth overall in payroll.
Where the Padres at? Were the Padres really
Soto go, and they tapered off on some of their spending. But they were still, I think, 11th or 12th overall. This is Spotrac. No, I don't know what their added salaries were during the year.
I think we're getting what we want. We're getting two iconic brands. And sometimes you need this. Sometimes you need a Lakers-Celtics series. Sometimes you need a Yankee-Dodger series. People are going to be tuned in. Now, I'll be watching the Utah Jazz and the Warriors be on duty. Maybe I'll have a little screen on Dodgers, Yankees, or whatnot. And tomorrow will be college football day. We'll watch a little bit. But the shadows. See, this is where I wish, too. The game started a little later because of the shadows at Dodger Stadium and the daytime sun going into night. I wish it started at about 6 o'clock West Coast time. The hell with the East Coast. They could stay up late. They could stay up till 9 o'clock and get liquored up and watch their Yankees up until midnight. But I'm viewing it as just like a celebration of some of the greatest players in this game. Aaron Judge finally is in the World Series. Giancarlo Stanton is finally in the World Series. Juan Soto's back in the World Series after taking the league by storm as a rookie with the Washington Nationals, and he's going to be in that batter's box, nodding his head, intimidating the Dodger pitchers, and I think he can steal the show. We didn't even talk about Teoscar Hernandez, who had a big grand slam at Yankee Stadium earlier this season when the two teams met out there in the Bronx and the Dodger fans trying to take over Yankee Stadium. There's a litany of stars, but that's why we want star power, and we got it. And there's going to be... I wonder what the over-under is. I think there's going to be a lot of runs scored in the series.
Well, 8.5 today.
Yeah. They set the record for most in an LCS. The Dodgers did, I believe, last series. The Mets still can't get it out. But the guy I'm most rooting for in this whole thing is Brian Cashman. And the reason why I'm rooting for Brian Cashman is I just think we've criminally underrated how great of a GM he is. Now, does he pay for players? Absolutely. But he swings bold deals, and he has done a great job with their farm system because, you know, like, let's call it what it is. Like, Aaron Judge came from their system. Anyone could have had Aaron Judge. He's a middle-round, first-round pick, right? And for what they've turned him into and to put their money where their mouth is, I just feel, even though he has a war chest of money, I have always felt like the way Brian Cashman operates the Yankees, we are in World Series or bust mode every single year. I respect the hell out of him. I just respect the hell out of him. And then I go to Aaron Boone in that dugout. I just think Aaron eats, breathes, lives baseball, and I root for him, and I'm pulling for him. I hate the Yankees in general, but I respect the hell out of the brand, and I respect those two guys running that organization. I'm rooting for them.
What about Andrew Freeman?
I hate the Dodgers. I can't, Bonte. Even though Mookie Betts plays the game the way I think he's one of the most fun players of all time. I love the way he plays the game. I just love Mookie Betts, everything about him.
Seriously, Andrew Freeman has done a hell of a job adjusting with the Dodgers. They lost Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. Didn't blink an eye. They didn't bat an eye. He swung big for Mookie Betts. He was ready to roll when it came to Shohei Ohtani becoming a free agent. And just, hey, just come down the freeway, whatever the freeway is. What is it? Highway 5 or whatever it is. Orange County to wherever Dodger Stadium is. Boom. Come on up to Dodger Stadium. You got Shohei. You know, they've drafted Will Smith. They've done a great job with the Dodgers bringing in pitchers. Hey, we need another starter. Let's go get Flaherty. Let's see if we can shore this up. Walker Buehler's going to pitch in the series. I wonder how he's going to do. The way they've managed Kershaw, saying, hey, you know what? He's not ready to roll in the postseason. So be it. By the way, the top 7 payrolls, Philly, Atlanta, Yankees, Dodgers, Texas, Cubs, Padres, Giants are 8th. And, oh, wait.
Is that heading
into 2025. My bad. 2025. 2024, Padres are 15th.
There you
Mets
go.
Mets were 1, Yankees 2, Astros 3, who lost in the playoffs.
There you go. That was the
Phillies 4, Dodgers 5, Braves 6, and the Cubs were 7.
7th there. See? Yeah.
Blue Jays are 9th.
What were the Giants? 9th?
Giants were right behind the Blue Jays at 10th.
10th, okay. I know.
$206 million.
Here's the thing, the takeaway for me as a baseball fan and as a Giants fan, it's the lineups. Looking at these lineups, it's like you can't ease up at all if you're a pitcher on the other team. Ohtani batting leadoff, that bottom of the order for the Dodgers just kept coming through, and he was as prolific with runners on scoring base as you possibly could be in the history of the game in the postseason. That's how good he's been, Ohtani. And then I look at what the Yankees lineup has done. You can't ease up at all. And so if I'm a Giants fan, I'm watching him saying, all right, look, Bryce Eldridge coming through the pipes, that's great. And you got Matt Chapman. We got a lot of work to do. You got to put together a murderer's row of a lineup. You got to catch the ball defensively. You got to pitch, obviously, because both these teams are leaking oil when it comes to
a lineup, man. It's time we get a lineup. It's time you get some lineups that can hit. Get some lineups that can hit the ball out of the yard to go gap to gap. And you know what else? You got to get some speed, athleticism. The Dodgers, they have athleticism. Now the Yankees don't run as much as the Dodgers. But they could get first to third with a couple other guys. Volpe can run.
I love Volpe.
You know what I'm saying? Defender. So you got to get speed and athleticism as well as power. By the way, it's Juan Soto's birthday. He's 26 years old today. He's already got 201 home runs, 592 RPIs, 285 batting average. If you think about a contract
what's
here.
What's his bait? No, give me his OBP. Just the
421.
Like, what's his career?
421.
I mean, come on, dude. That's ridiculous.
OPS 953.
I mean, come on, dude. Your on-base percentage is 421 in this era. It's incredible.
He's not going to run. He doesn't run. His career highest total bases was 12 last year with the Padres. But you want to talk about a great contract year? One of the most. We talk about Aaron Judge had a great contract year.
Yeah, he broke the record in the American League.
Well, Juan Soto's not too bad. 41 jacks, 109 RBIs.
Yes.
And that swing is so pretty. Oh, it's so pretty. So I hope the Yankees win. I do want to see New York get a World Series title. The Yankees, it makes baseball better when they're on top. It does. It makes everybody elevate their game. It'll wake the Red Sox up. It'll wake the Orioles up. And maybe the Dodgers being in the world. But how about this? What if the Dodgers do win? What does that mean about Dave? How do we feel about Dave Roberts if he gets this one?
I think it validates everything that's happened over the last decade plus, and all of the Mickey Mouse ring stuff kind of dissipates.
Oh, it goes out the window.
You know, and it'd still be around, but the second one validates everything. And I don't care how they did it. They did it.
How that would be ring number 3 for Mookie Betts, right, if they win?
Mm-hmm.
He's got one with the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. He's got the Mickey Mouse 18. Ring. Yeah, he's got the Mickey Mouse ring, the Red Sox ring.
He was so good in 18, too.
And
David Ortiz clearly on something.
Yeah, they beat the end of his career. They beat the Dodgers in that one. Was David Ortiz on that team in 2018?
Yeah, he was.
Was he really in that Dodgers series?
Yeah, look it up. And then I would
say smokes.
Machado was the final out.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, don't forget, Bellinger was the NLCS MVP and didn't play in the first 2 games of the series. I mean.
So is that our Farhan and Andrew Freeman?
It was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
That was a Farhan move.
It was like. I'm like, dude, Bellinger's on fire. Like, we're facing a lefty. We're not going to pitch him. We're not going to have him play.
Let's go to Ozark Rob. Ozark Rob,
what's up, Ozark Rob?
Hey, what's good, guys? How you doing today?
Good.
I'm fired up. Great sports weekend.
Yeah, it's been an awesome weekend. Unfortunately for the Niners-Chiefs game, it didn't go out the way that we wanted to. I thought I was going to hear a lot of grief out here being in Kansas City, but, hey, they kind of already expected them to win. But other than that, I mean, I'm pretty excited about this Yankee-Dodger game. It seems like it's going to be a good series. I'm originally from the Bay Area, and it's just giving me those Seahawks-Eagles kind of vibe, or Patriots kind of vibe for the championship game. It's just, I don't know who I want to go for. I don't want either team to win, but I for sure don't want the Dodgers to win.
Yeah, I got a root for the Pinstripes. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little jaded.
Wait, is there even a doubt? What are you talking about? Of course you're rooting against the Dodgers.
I mean, you know.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
What?
No. If you're a Giants fan, your favorite team is whoever's facing the Dodgers.
Right, no doubt. But it's the Yankees, though. A lot of people hate the Yankees.
Well, no, I hate the Yankees, too. But it doesn't even come close to my hatred
of the Dodgers.
That's the Dodgers
winning? Kind of, boy.
What, you think it's a good thing for the Giants?
I mean, you know what I don't like? I'm not going to lie. I used to be this type of fan, but I'm not anymore. Where if the Dodgers do lose, and Giants fans celebrate, you Dodgers, you can't win. For a night.
For a night.
Trust me, I got those tweets off in 2018.
Yeah.
Oh, I got them off. The Michael Jordan faces, the crying memes. Oh, I got them off. I'll fire them off. Don't do it as much as I used to. Probably should do it more. But it does feel like, man, they're competing every single year for a World Series. And we're out here platooning.
Yeah, but Ponte, I go back to that Seattle Patriots Super Bowl that he's referencing. I remember I was like, I don't want Brady to win his fourth. But I don't want the Seahawks at all. It was one of the great Niner moments in my life at that point to see them lose that way. We had a whole crew at the house. We were celebrating like the Niners won the Super Bowl because I hated Seattle so much. And that hate for Seattle doesn't even come close to my hatred for the Dodgers.
Well, I know, though.
And I still that Super Bowl, in that loss.
Oh, that Super Bowl was great because Herbert Philly Zoo had money on the Seahawks. And when they threw that interception, I jumped off my recliner. Hell, I screamed out the window. No, I was happy as hell. But I was kind of a Brady fan at that point, too. So, like, as everybody, it took that Super Bowl for people to recognize Brady. You could ask Big Dog City. From 05 to about 2018, I never bet against the Patriots. My rule was Pats or pass. Pats or pass. So I always bet it on Belichick and Brady. And I kind of lightweight liked them and the style that they played and the way they ran the ball and the way they hit you on defense and the way they got the rules changes, the way Ty Law punked Marvin Harrison at Foxborough Stadium in the mud. I like those teams. But that Seattle game, no doubt, because I think nobody ever discusses this. They get the ball to Marshawn Lynch. I'm convinced Seattle's going to be the first team to three-peat in the NFL.
Well, you might entirely be right.
They were going to go back-to-back. They were in their prime, feeling good. I was convinced that they were going to go three-peat if they won that Super Bowl.
Every Niner fan remembers where they were when that game was going on. Because Curse made that crazy catch.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that crazy catch? Yep. And you were like, oh, God, they're going to win. And it was like deflated silence at the Shasky House. We had everybody over on Alamany. And we're sitting down on the couch. And I'll never forget, Joycey and me jumped up. We were high-fiving in the living room. Yeah, Joycey's out there somewhere. Joycey and me. This is one of my boys. Oh. We're high-fiving like crazy. Even Michelle had an ear-to-ear smile. And I'll never the very next day, God, the memes of Pete Carroll as a fast food McDonald's worker, like he was Trump. He's going, hey, you want your order? Should I hand this to you or step back 6 yards and throw it to you? Still an old-time meme.
Mm-hmm. It is a great meme. 510, Ponte, get yourself checked, bro. You may have woken up with a high fever. I have a Yankee hat on right now, buddy.
Ponte's taking bets from up top.
Of course I'm rooting for the Yankees. Don't you know that I went to Yankee Stadium this past summer and caught the fever? And we got to go back into the team store. I got to get a Yankee hat.
For kids out there, like, I love baseball.
I'm sorry.
I love baseball so much. For kids out there that like are kind of like, I don't know about baseball on TV, this is awesome for the game. It's mega superstars hitting huge tanks with Garrett Cole, who's I love watching him pitch, just the way he pitches. This is superstar box office for the 12-year-old kids out there who want to love the game on television. And I think this is great for the game.
Some quick Niners news. We get back into the Niners. Then we got Rod Adams, assistant head coach of the Golden State Warriors. They're in Salt Lake City to take out the Utah Jazz and try to improve the 2-0. But some news with the Niners, if they do make the playoffs, Javon Hargrave may be able to make a return. He may be able to make a return for the playoffs if they get to the playoffs.
So Gravedigger popping up like the Undertaker?
There you go. That's a two. I saw that coming a mile away. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 16 years of full service banking with no compromises. Cowboy Niners, folks. What are your thoughts on this game on Sunday? Niners right now in last place in the NFC West. Who would have thunk it?
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Dude, it's a payday Friday. I'm happy about that. Oh, wait, Vince's doing a couple of tastes. Never mind. That checks, guys.
I already made a bunch of transfers.
Yeah, it's gone.
You ever seen the South Park? And it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Oh, man.
Niners, Cowboys.
Just got a funny text. Not going to read it out there. Not going to read it out there.
Why would you even reference it?
Just because. Just wanted to tease.
No, don't talk about that.
I got a text from someone really important.
No, I wouldn't say they're that important. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Most wanted tickets in the Bay Area, by the way. It's coming up. November the 1st. Where's Ja? He's going to be at the SAP Center. Bone Thugs, DJ Quick. Tickets are selling fast. They're limited. I mean, they're almost gone. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Most wanted tickets in the Bay Area. Warriors and Jazz later on tonight. Don't forget Warriors Live. What time's Warriors Live begin? Warriors Live begins with Willard and Dibs. 5:30? Is it 5:30? 6 o'clock? Whatever it is.
Lowry Marketing?
Lowry Marketed. Is it Lowry? Lowry? What is it?
How many, like, not Bonte Hill, how many average Warrior fans could name a second Utah Jazz member?
I'm surprised you guys could name Marketed. I can.
Here we go. Okay, who?
NBA League Pass. You got to watch out for Keyonte George, second year pro. Colin Sexton is super fast. And you got Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. Walker Kessler is a big, and Will Hardy is one hell of a coach.
Will Hardy, the Hardy boy.
He's one hell of a coach. So Utah's going to play well. And I kind of watched a little bit of tape when they played Memphis the other night. And Ja and them are going to be a problem. Ja and them are back. They're trying to figure it out.
One of them does something dumb.
I think they've learned their lesson. I'm gonna give Memphis a benefit of the doubt. You know, I've kicked
what
them
makes you think they've learned a lesson?
I mean, look at last year. Just look at last season.
What happened?
Ja Morant, his career was on the brink. He knew he had to make some changes. Desmond Bane had to make some changes. So they're going to get Jaren Jackson Jr. back at some point. They won that game without JJJ. I don't know if that game is close if they have JJJ. Maybe that's why Walker Kessler had the monster double-double. But look, man, Utah's a well-coached team. John Collins now, he's coming off the bench.
Just, I'm not making fun of you, but it's a thing that we do about like the weaker teams. They're very well coached. Who is the coach?
Will Hardy. Boston Celtics assistant. He was on the staff with Ime Udoka when they played the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals in 2022.
Maybe he's kicking himself for not hanging around a little longer. He could have got the Missoula job.
Well, I mean, you know what? Missoula tried to get the Utah job too, and you got to remember, they didn't know Ime Udoka was going to get popped. That came out of nowhere. So, you know what, Utah, Salt Lake City, the altitude. You're laughing, man. No, I don't know why you're laughing.
No, because it's true. The altitude is real.
We'll bring up the random Detroit Tigers. Oh, man, they got this player. Torkelson from Petaluma hitting 220. Oh, man, you got to watch.
Oh, there's a local tie.
You know, so I'm not, you know, this is a big game, man.
No, this is a huge game. These are the winnable games early in the season. Yeah. The Warriors have to bank, baby. Let's go.
And then it's marketed. Everybody wanted marketed this past offseason.
Not anymore.
No, you sure?
Yeah, we pivoted.
Well, I guarantee you today, if Kubica struggles. If he struggles, you don't think Warrior fans are going to be thinking, you could have traded him for marketing. Why didn't you give him up?
No.
If Podzimski struggles, you know how Warrior fans are thinking?
No, this is how Warrior fans are thinking.
Like if Klay Thompson went 3 for 15 last night, you know how many Warrior fans would be like, see, we made the right decision.
Well, I mean, the hater section is always going to be there.
There's a high level hating going on.
They're
going
to be very quiet when things don't go their way. They're going to be very loud. You know, it's up to you how you want to, you know, listen or not listen to that particular segment. But I would say this. The marketing thing, I want it in real time. I'm over it. It has passed. And now I have my sights set on something bigger.
What's that?
Well, I'm just going to look around the NBA landscape. And like Bonte Hill told me, when the king says there is always a disgruntled superstar, well, then I've got my eyes all around the league at a bigger fish.
LeBron James. Antetokounmpo.
Absolutely, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So you know, the Kuminga thing's not going to go away, okay, when it comes to like trade pieces. There, as long as he doesn't have an extension, and even if he does get an extension, people are going to be stapling him to all million different deals, all right? I want to see him play well this year. I'm rooting for him to play well this year.
Giannis was very strategic last week when he said, you know, if we don't win, I could see how Milwaukee will want to trade me. It was very strategic. It was very clever with how he manipulated his words there. You know, if we don't win a championship, I can see how Milwaukee may just blow this up and they may be willing to trade me or whatnot.
It's amazing how much Jimmy Haslam, now like the majority owner of Milwaukee, everything he touches just turns to crap.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's Deshaun Watson, Johnny Manziel. You come in after they won a championship in Milwaukee and now your superstar wants to leave potentially. Just a joke.
So happy it's happened to a terrible person. No ethics, Jimmy Haslam.
Oh. There's a lot of people we could have
heard. Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones. I mean, you guys were talking about the Vince McMahon doc. Yikes. Oh, my gosh.
I will say it got me very nostalgic for WWE watching the Vince McMahon doc. And I think I slept on one of the great introductions of all time. Not just DX is an obvious one. Voodoo Child by Hollywood Hogan. I've been banging that for the last, I don't know, 24 to 48 hours. It knocks so hard. Do you even know what song I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Can you pull that up when you get a chance?
By the way, Zucci Mane. What up, Zucci Mane? Saw him last week here when we had breakfast with Baldy. Can we get a moment to pray for our friend James Wiseman? You know what? You're right. We should pray for James Wiseman. What a roadblock for him.
It
was a good fit in Indiana, too. Really good fit for him. And he had a quick six in that game against the Pistons. He's shooting the ball well, running the floor. Just, you saw it right away, Achilles.
He was backing up. Yeah. He shot the ball or whatever.
Went forward and he just saw it pop.
I felt so bad for him.
Saw it roll up. By the way, my right Achilles, I think I got right Achilles tendonitis. So no joke. My thing was throbbing yesterday. I had an ice pack on. It was elevated. I feel like I'm just one quick juke away from.
When's the last time he had a quick juke?
Warriors War Tournament last year.
No, that's not true. No, that's not true.
No, what?
The last quick juke that you had was at the softball day when you went to your left to fill the ground ball.
No, I played some hoops after that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I played some hoops.
I thought you looked explosive.
No, I wasn't explosive.
I didn't see bilateral tendonitis at all.
I had on jeans with a belt, and it was tough to move in those jeans.
Well, you exploded.
No, I didn't explode.
Yeah, you almost exploded the shoe like Zion.
No, the ball exploded out of my glove as I couldn't feel the grounder. But no, my jeans. I had jeans on. I can't move around in jeans. But my Achilles did hurt after that. And then I play some basketball. I'm going to hurt after that because, you know, I take a hard first step. Jab step.
You know what they call him because he was wearing his jeans out, you know, in the infield? Gene Carlo Stanton.
I don't know if you could give yourself the applause for that one.
Come on, that was pretty good.
That was horrible.
Come on.
That was a negative four.
That was horrible.
I give you an A for effort or an E for effort or whatever it is, but, you know.
Oh, wait, crank this. Dude, crank this. He came out and he was strumming the championship belt guitar.
You know what?
This knocks.
Yeah, it's a great song, but we should probably just say that it's a great song.
No, this is a Jimi Hendrix song.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what people say. Jimi Hendrix is great. But
do you know Hollywood who Jimi Hendrix is?
Yes, I know. Of course, I know who Jimi Hendrix is.
We got to hear the twang.
But Hogan, Hogan ain't much better than Fitz.
No, Hogan's a horrible human being. But, you know, I look the other way when it comes to Voodoo Child coming out. I mean, it's a classic.
You gotta look the other way.
Did you crank this?
I know.
Dude, the heel turn was the greatest thing of all time.
Are you going to look the other way if the Niners lose the game on Sunday to the Cowboys? Are you going to look the other way or just going to look at basketball?
Don't talk about that.
Because I got a lot of texts like, hey, it's basketball season for me, Bonte. It's like, wait, what?
No. Niners-Cowboys is going to be huge. But I will say this. Like Bash at the Beach when Hogan turned, if the Niners lay an egg, I will be ready to be booing. I won't be throwing things like they did in Bash at the Beach, but I will be booing.
Or throwing things at Texas and Austin.
I will be so mad if the Niners lose this game. Like their season is on the brink here. I'm not saying the season's over or anything with a loss because you could still win the division. I'm talking about the big picture. Steve Young's alluded to this.
You know,
since when was it just about winning the division? That's never been the case. When the payroll is what it is, when the roster is what it is, it's about winning the whole enchilada.
Oh, now it is?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
So I'm okay.
It's about winning the whole enchilada.
Are we okay to say that around
yes,
here?
Yes, and I'm back on your boat.
Because it wasn't. It wasn't. I can't be Super Bowl, but it's really hard to win. By the way, Steve Young, I got a little bone to pick with him. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up.
Still.
Him and Dan Marino.
Yeah.
But early on this season, they say, you know, Brock's going to need to use his legs. You know, he needs to use his legs. And then recently he said, well, maybe he's using his legs too much. I don't think it's hurting him. He's using his legs. Wait, Steve, pick a lane, dude. Pick a lane. Want him to use his legs or not?
Well, it's moderation.
Come on.
Right?
Come on,
it's
Steve.
Like, you know, I love Chick-fil-A. You know, shout out our friend at Chick-fil-A, but moderation.
By the way, they gave free Chick-fil-A. To all the Utah Jazz fans after Zach Edey missed two free throws.
No way.
Yeah, I think so.
What a great prize. I remember I used to, Chalupas! I want to win a Chalupa at a Warrior game. Oh, let's go. I'm so pumped for the Niners-Cowboy game.
Are you pumped now?
I am.
What got you pumped?
Bonte, I got to get it. This has me pumped right here as I start going through my notes.
Let me hear Rico Dowdle.
That's the starting running back for the Cowboys. Okay? Yeah, who is what everyone's saying. Zeke Elliott might be splitting carries again with him right now. We know Zeke's done, all right? Even though he looked good in the preseason. This team is giving up almost 8 yards per pass. The Niners desperately need this right now because you got two young, inexperienced wide receivers who I think could have big Sunday night football debuts. I'm excited for Ricky Pearsall. George Kittle has to suit up in this game. And you have got to get Jordan Mason above 120. And what do I mean by 120? 120 yards on the ground. This guy, I think, would have ran for 120 if a couple calls don't get, you know, call back because of holding. We need this win. You win this one, and then we could lick our wounds during the bye week, and we can come out, and maybe we get a couple in a row before the schedule really starts to turn. Let's go.
Steve Young, what did he say? When people aren't open right away, now he starts to scramble. That's not his best thing. He can do it, but it's not his best or favorite thing. But yet, Steve Young alluded to Brock Purdy scrambling a little bit more to make plays with his legs. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you what it is. Steve Young, like the Niner fan base,
right?
We're rattled. Like this is not going the way we thought it was going to go
Steve
this
Young.
Year.
I want solutions, not oh my god, this guy's falling.
No,
oh my
this
god,
is football. It's called paranoia.
No. Mike Tirico just told you to chill out.
No, he said every coach in the NFL has paranoia.
No. Mike Tirico earlier in the interview, we were talking about Shanahan and everything, and he goes, take a deep breath. It's insanity. Start talking coaching.
I love Tirico. Right? Mad
he
respect. I'm not going to take a deep
you.
Breath.
Yeah, well, you should. You did during that interview. Brock Purdy.
Out of respect to a legend.
Yeah.
You know, as a fellow broadcaster, I respect the best of the craft.
Here's what a real broadcaster said.
If Kyle was not the Niners coach, about 28 teams would hire him in 5 seconds. Honestly, like, unless you have a coach you love who's great, who's perfect, they dump their guy for Kyle in 5 seconds. So stop that insanity, okay?
Stop that insanity. You hear that, Niner fans? Stop that insanity. Somehow, some way, I became the Shanahan apologist. It's kind of fascinating. The whole audible thing.
You became the Shanahan apologist?
Somehow, I've been defending Shanahan this whole season, saying it's insanity to say he's on a hot. Remember the whole hot seat conversation earlier this season? Then it was,
I listened to an entire interview with you, Spadoni, and Baldy talking about creativity on the 49er.
There has been a lack of creativity. That doesn't mean I want Shanahan fired. That's insanity. Just get a little more creative. I wanted more jet sweeps. I wanted more stuff on the perimeter. I wanted to use his speed. That doesn't mean I want a new head coach. I'm fine with Shanahan being the head coach. Niners have been highly successful in the box office, in ticket sales, on the football field.
That's some Jerry Jones on right there.
But no, they've won games.
Okay.
They've tried to win games while being profitable. They're not just, hey, we're going to be happy being profitable. No, they want the whole damn enchilada. That's what I love about this team. So, no, I haven't been on let's fire Shanahan. That's child's play. But here's on Brock Purdy.
Voodoo
talking about
play?
Audibles, because somehow, some way, audible talk has hit the scene again. Here's what Brock Purdy said yesterday about audibles.
Usually we just have an answer built into the play. And so if we do have like an all-out blitz or something, we usually have an answer of where I should be hitting or where I should be going. And there's very rare occasions where we walk up to the line and we get a look and it's, oh shoot, they got us. And then I'm supposed to randomly make up an audible. There's nothing like that. We usually always have an answer for pressures, all-out blitz, and things like that. So that's on me to get to the right guy.
That's on him to get to the right guy. And Shanahan has been doing this ever since he had Kirk Cousins, Matt Schaub, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, all that stuff. So it's not going to change. So I don't get why it's such a big deal right now. Fans just want him to audible at the line of scrimmage. Doesn't he have enough on his plate? Does this Brock Purdy have enough on his plate with the lack of weapons that he has right now?
I think audibling is a... it's a catchphrase, but I think more what people are I'm not trying to like defend the insanity of the whole audible gate thing. And if, for those that aren't paying attention online, there seems to be a big fervor over Shanahan's offense not being able to have the quarterback audible at the line, meaning change the play. But you can still flip the play, and then you have your offensive lineman being able to call out the protections. Think about like Jeff Saturday back in the day. He's about to hike the ball to Peyton Manning. Peyton and him are going back and forth on who the Mike linebacker is, and then Jeff Saturday as the center is talking to the guard and the tackle. Hey, you get this guy, slide it over here, kick out over there. It feels like on a couple of short yardage situations, the protection doesn't change at all, and they're having a tough time there. And I think the question is like, all right, well, they've been highly successful for a long time not doing it with that checking of the line, meaning having the linemen themselves call out the protection. Should it change a little since they're not having the same kind of success that they've had in years past? I think that's a fair conversation, but to lose our minds over it, that's not real.
I mean, we lose our minds over everything. We'll get to the Lions in just a second. Ron Adams, 9 o'clock. He's going to join us in 11 minutes, assistant head coach of the Golden State Warriors. And, of course, we're going to replay Mike Tirico, who joined us in the 7 o'clock hour. Replay that right after Ron Adams. That's coming up on the Morning Roast. By the way, some also good news here. The GM of the Niners, John Lynch, saying that Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga, and Christian McCaffrey will all absolutely be back this season. Now, Mike Silver had a report saying, yeah, Hufanga looks like he's going to be out for the year. Then all of a sudden he doubled back, said, oh, well, his agent said he's going to be back. So John Lynch clarifying everything, saying Dre Greenlaw, Hufanga, and Christian McCaffrey will all absolutely be back this season for the 49ers. So you win this game, come out to bye, you beat up a shorthanded Tampa Bay team without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, then you host the Seattle Seahawks. I'm looking at a 3-game winning streak. I'm looking at 6-4. I'm looking at getting Greenlaw back. I'm looking at getting McCaffrey back. I'm looking at the Niners going on another damn run. That's where my mind is at. I think the team's going
to
do it.
So going back to the report, so Mike Silver originally, because I'm blocked by him online. He originally said, no, I'm just saying, I can't follow what you're saying. He said originally Talanoa Hufanga is out for the year, but now John Lynch is saying, no, he could come back.
The agent, I guess Mike Silver had a conversation with Hufanga's agent.
Okay.
His agent was like, no, he's going to be back.
Okay. I don't know if his starting spot is still there.
Probably not, but you could play special teams.
That's a good point. That's actually a really good point.
Play special teams. Duke in the city. Duke, what's happening?
Come on, man. Y'all know what's going on, man. We need Shanny, man, with the players that he got. We need him to be able to design some players for the players that you got. If your starters are not there, you got to implement those other players in different kind of ways. You know what I mean? You got to make sure they get the ball in the way that they're supposed to get the ball. Mm-hmm. And one other thing I got is, face that 49ers, Fatal Flaw, Mortal Kombat, Don't Ask Me. That's your boy Dakota Prescott. Debo rolling hard on the 26 goal, but McCaffrey is the one with the 450 motor. Kittle serving you like the all-night market. The Cowboys is here, and the star is a target. My team is a nine.
Tiger Redden goes, Master, Mondo. I need all the real Niner fans to stand up with me because this season ain't over yet. And tell them, the Dallas Cowboys, we come to take your soul. You listen to 95.7 again, the Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky. I'm Duke from the city, and we Niner Lions for life, man.
Let's go. That? Duke, you need to get these boys fired up, man. Get these boys fired up. Locker room speeches, pregame speeches. I'll admit it, man. I've been very disappointed with Niner fans this week. Our heads are not in the right place. Instead of saying, hey, you know what? It's week eight. We've been here before with Shanahan. You have. Look at, I mean, 2021, you're 3-5. 2022, you're 3-4. You know, you're getting off the slow start. You had the three-game losing streak last year. We've been here before with this football team.
Remember that game during the COVID season with Richie James?
Thursday Night Football against the Green Bay Packers.
Do you think there's any way either Pearsall or Cowens could have one of those kind of games?
I do.
Given the circumstances?
I do.
Because every time we're ready to bury Shanahan in terms of the creativity, he starts pulling some rabbits out of his hat, and a guy kind of comes out of nowhere. Raheem Mostert comes to mind, Breida before him, Kittle at one point kind of came out of nowhere. Like, there's always a guy that kind of comes out of nowhere, mm-hmm. even if it's just for a short period of time. Is there any way they can get one of those guys to pop on Sunday night?
That's what we hope, but I want to run the ball. I want to run the ball on Sunday. I want to run it down the Cowboys' throat. I want to run it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. That's all I want. I don't care about style points. I don't care about stats. I just want to win going into the bye week and be 4-4, take a week off, reassess the situation, and then go on a second half run and get ready to lock and load with the Seahawks and the Rams and the Bucks and the Bills and the Packers. That's all I'm worried about. I don't care who balls out on Sunday. Just get a W.
I'm a little worried about the backup running back spot. And the only reason why I say that is that Garendo has shown some flashes. But in those hard-hitting games, he fumbled on, like, he only had like two or three touches. That was a huge fumble, and they were lucky that ball went out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, it went out of bounds, so it wasn't as huge. But, yeah, you got to take care of the football. You have to go to,
but those are the kind of things where, like, Shanahan won't trust you. And yeah, no, I get it. I'm not even trying to be mad at Shanahan. Like, I get it. Like, there were times when Breida, I remember you and me looked at each other like, oh, the game is just too physical.
No, Elijah Mitchell. I worry. Yeah, no doubt. But isn't that good news that Greelaw, McCaffrey, John Lynch is saying that they're absolutely coming back? Doesn't that make you feel good?
McCaffrey, I'm very skeptical on getting myself excited for. I mean, Achilles?
Bilateral Achilles.
All the other ones, I'm with them. All the other ones. But McCaffrey in particular, I just don't know what you do in this situation. And I don't think there's a big bad wolf. I don't think the player's wrong. I don't think the team's wrong. I don't even know what the right course of action is. Like, is this something where he could go out and he's fine the rest of the year? Is this something where he can go out and re-injure himself this week, 6 weeks from now, 10 weeks from now? I have no idea. Because, like, here's my question on CMCB. Let's say, hey, guess what? Here we go. CMC's back. He has 100 yards, you know, 15 touches. Oh, they use him great. How does he feel Tuesday of the week after that first game? How does he feel Thursday, you know, the week after that first return?
He's probably not going to practice much during the week.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, is he now locked back up again, or is he good to go?
Don't know.
Right? That's the part where I'm like, I'm trying to caution myself from getting too optimistic and then having it fall back down again.
But the Niners have shown they can get to a Super Bowl and NFC Championship game, and they've done it without Christian McCaffrey before. Now, McCaffrey obviously was an explosive player, offensive player of the year, and I'm not saying you don't need him because that explosiveness has been sorely missed this year, especially in the red zone where the 49ers are 14-31 this season in the red zone, 27th in the league. So you do miss McCaffrey. That is that instance where you can get the quick passes off, the ankle routes, whatever it is, the halfback draws, the shovel passes, however you use Christian McCaffrey. But can Jordan Mason do this? Can he last? Can Greeno get up to speed?
Did Mason look the same for you?
Well, I just think Kansas City shut him down like they shut everybody else
down.
Yeah,
but did he run the same way?
I thought he did. I thought he was running the same way. He was getting hit at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. I didn't see him finish runs the way he accustomed to, but that linebacking corps is so big.
And they're so big, and they just shut it down.
Karloftis is so underrated on the end there. He's a great player, too. Chenault is a great player. Bolton, like, they're just, gosh, they drafted so well.
They have drafted so well. Rod Adams is going to join us in a few minutes. We're going to replay Mike Tirico at 9:20. He's calling Sunday Night Football, of course. Rod Adams, assistant coach with the Golden State Warriors. And here it is with the Golden State Warriors. They're playing in Utah. Steph, Draymond, D'Anthony Melton, all questionable with various injuries. We'll ask Rod Adams how he's feeling about his team, how are you going to do it with the rotations or whatnot. But real quick at Forbes, the Warriors, there's three clubs in the NBA worth at least $7 billion. Warriors are worth $8.8 billion. Knicks at $7.5 billion. Lakers at $7.1 billion. Only five other teams in any sport. The Yankees, $7.55 billion. And four NFL franchises led by the Cowboys, who are valued at $10.1 billion, currently reach that lofty threshold. And the Warriors, this is crazy. And I know how it's calculated or whatnot, but they moved over to Chase Center. And last season alone, they racked up over $7 million in local revenue at this new home. The club's total revenue, including Central League revenue, and then they got arena debt service and revenue sharing, hit $800 million in 23-24.
For income or
income? And so only four other teams in the world, the Dallas Cowboys, Real Madrid, Manchester United, and Barcelona, have reached that milestone.
So that was revenue?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Local revenue. Yeah, revenue. They made over 700, I'll read it again, $700 million in local revenue at its new home. $700 million in local revenue.
Yeah, see, the
club's total revenue, including Central League revenue, and then he got arena debt service and revenue sharing, hit $800 million.
The hardest part with these Forbes evaluations, it's like when your house gets on Redfin. It's not exactly like for like, but when your house is on Redfin, you someone like, hey, we bought, like, for example, I see your house, I look at your address, I type it into Redfin, and it's like, oh, it's valued at $1 million. Well, it doesn't take into account what your loan is. Yeah, like, what's your debt? So you know that the Warriors have debt on the real estate that they built, number one. And then you don't understand all of the incurred costs and all that stuff. The only way you see that money is if you refinance or you sell the business. And so it's great. It's amazing. I can't believe they
they make over $700 million in local revenue, though.
Yeah.
That's insane.
No, they're wildly profitable.
Yes.
They're wildly. But I also don't understand I don't know what their costs are.
Right.
You know what I mean? To like operate their business.
They've made a lot of money, no doubt, and we'll see what they do this year on the floor. I know people can't wait for the home opener on Sunday against the LA Clippers. Happens at the same time as the Cowboys game.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Whatever. I'll be up late watching the Cowboys Niners over, getting ready for Monday's show. Hopefully the Niners win. I'll cross my fingers for a victory, because Lord knows what Monday could. You thought Spadoni was in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Monday and Tuesday. It's Spadoni, your thoughts on how Monday and Tuesday went down?
I had to sigh a lot because of the most outrageous calls I've ever heard in my life. The amount of fire Shanahan takes, this just isn't the guy. I was like, the Chiefs do this to everyone. Like, what are we doing? The Niners aren't special in that regards. They've done it to the Bills. They've done it to the Ravens. They've done it to everyone. The Chiefs are just on another level right now defensively. It's okay.
You know, it shouldn't surprise me. Because Steve Kerr had three rings as head coach of the Dakota State Warriors, and people were ready to run him out of town.
Him, Bob Myers, Joe Lacob. What has he done for everything for this area and this team and this franchise? Get rid of him.
Who's the guy in SFK?